QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communication. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. I have one announcement to make, as everyone who's listening out there, is the season is heating up and the air is drying out. We all need to be what we call fire aware, and keep your eyes and ears open. Let's make it through this season without any incidents. So appreciate anybody on any help out there, especially if you're up here on the hill. All right, the topic for the evening will be, we're going to kind of go over what we did at Field Day, some of the neat things we did, some of the neat things we found out, and we'll talk about that. But first, let's call the net. WB6CLZ, Mike, you out there?
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is WB6CLZ in Placentia, standing by for the net.
Yeah, roger that. I don't know if you can hear. I hear a dog. I'm not sure what that is. WB6CIN, Cindy.
Hi, Tom. This is WB6CIN, and I'm not the dog.
Oh, that's my buddy. He's on coyote patrol. It's that time of day, almost every time of day. Anyway, all right, good deal. Glad to have you out there, Cindy. KA6CIA, George.
Good evening, Tom. KA6CIA.
All right, George, glad you're up here on the hill, and I imagine you're keeping a lot cooler that way. How about KE6RJ, Harry? Yeah, seen her. I wonder if KE6QI is out there or also.
Yeah, I was on the wrong frequency. KE6RJ and KE6QI. Good evening, Tom, in the net.
Oh, Harry and Nancy, glad to have you out there. Glad to have you back on the right frequency. AF6ZJ, Guy. And nothing heard. KJ68CS, Mike.
Good evening, Tom Nanette, KJ68CS.
Glad to have you out there listening in, Mike. We'll do a courtesy check-in. I believe it's K6EKX, is that correct?
It's correct, Tom. Thanks a lot on that one.
All right, Mike, glad to have you out there. KJ6FIL, Redlands, Mike.
Good evening, all. Out here listening, KJ6FIL.
All righty. I don't know if you can hear that dog in the background. It's my third-party buddy here. Oh, boy. All right. Hope you're keeping cool down there, Mike. I know it's getting warm. Anyway, KF6VH, Bob. And Captain Herr. How about KJ6KDL, Jim?
This is KJ6KDK, and please also check in Jim. Hi. Hands are full walking the doggies.
I heard him back there. Glad to have you both in there all the time anyway. How about W6GZI, Frank? Yeah, nothing heard. KI6IQA, Kelly. And nothing heard. K6GVL, Ron, Green Valley.
Good evening, Tom. This is Ron, K6GVL, and I'm on a walk with my dog.
Yeah, roger that. I have third-party dog traffic here. Don't know if they can hear. until the coyotes go away, he won't stop. Anyway, 86PL, Harold.
Good evening, 86PL.
All right, Harold, glad to have you out there always. How about W6AWL, Art?
Not sure you're going to get me down at Sun. Ken, W6AWL.
Okay, Art, copied you out there. Out there in the midst. W6JLM, Judith, with all the surgeries going on there. How you doing, Judith? She's probably under the weather. I don't know. W6KMM, are you out there? He's probably taking care of Judith. KI6OHN, John, are you out there? And nothing heard. Go down here to K6YNW, Chris. Okay, it sounds like somebody's trying to get in there, but don't hear anything. We'll hopefully get back in later on. All right, W6KVC, Gary.
K6BB.
K86LN. Bill, are you out there? Nothing heard. How about KJ6BCK Adam, Garden Grove? Nothing heard. AE6CK Victor. And I heard KA6ROD Rod.
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
Hey, Rod, glad to have you out there. How about KJ6DBF? Leon, are you out there? Yeah, I've heard KB6LTY Christy. Nothing heard. How about AE6TV Hans? And nothing heard. How about NQ7RD Rick? And nothing heard. All right. Hey, Mike, WB6CLZ. Well, is there anything to even talk about with DX, or is there maybe some predictions for the future? What do we got going on here?
Well, naturally, we always try to be optimistic, Tom, but I don't see anything coming in the near future anyway. Space Weather's reporting a sunspot number of 30, which, you know, that's not very good. I don't even have my HF radio here on the bench. It's still packed away from field day, so I haven't really listened to much today. I will tell you that over field day on 10 meters, Northeast Canada was probably our best DX, and, you know, we were getting pretty good signals out of Northeast Canada, 5, 9 plus, and worked all throughout Canada, all throughout most of the United States. I don't know what the other guys were doing, but that's my report for 10 meters. That's the best DX report I can give you right now.
Okay, roger that. Yeah, I think you had quite a few contacts over the weekend. I'm going to say getting close to 200.
I think it was 189, something like that, which was pretty good. You know, we didn't work 24 hours. That's the nature of 10 meters. Usually opened up about 10 o'clock in the morning, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, and we were making contacts till about 8, 9 o'clock at night.
Roger that. And let's see, I think Cliff was doing pretty good on 6. Well, anyway, well, yeah, not much to talk about with all the stuff going on out there. The coronal mass ejection, I guess that all fizzled out.
Yes, we had a pretty good solar wind at the poles, and it kind of just delivered a glancing blow and didn't give us a positive or a negative. It was just status quo. So, you know, nothing really to talk about in that regard.
Alrighty, I know one guy didn't call on the check-in. K6LCS, Clint, are you out there? And I don't hear him out there, so I think we're going to skip the ham satellite report today. Well, anyway, a couple of things about field day. Pretty neat, a lot of fun. And maybe we can just kind of hash over a couple things for anybody who didn't get a chance to make it out there and let everybody know what's happening. Mike, you're pretty much over there all by yourself, so I guess that would kind of eliminate a lot of the distractions. How'd that work?
Well, worked out very well. We had a few visitors where I was kind of explaining the ups and downs and ins and outs of field day, which I don't consider a distraction. I consider that part of field day. But, yeah, Cindy and I were out most of the time on our own. I know that Jim and Rosemary helped out a little bit, and people would check in here and there. Rod came by, and Mickey, and yeah, we were kind of out by ourselves, out in the back 40 there, and had a good time. Very little distractions. We if conditions got a little funny to where we couldn't hear, we put headphones on. So yeah, not over in the mainstay where there was a lot of distraction going on.
Yeah, roger that. Now we. This is the first year as our club as we used computer logging, and we don't have everybody here who was involved with that, obviously. What did you think of it? What was your opinion after doing that for the whole field day episode? How'd it work out for you?
Man, that's a cat's meow. That squirrel program that we use, the computer logging program, after you modified it, but you know, even before, if we would have only used one computer, it would have been great. Very, very nice. A lot better. Last year we used, we were logging everything by hand. Didn't have an adequate Duke sheet. For anybody that doesn't know what that is, if you work a station twice, it's called a dupe. And the point doesn't count. It just basically takes time away from, you know, from your positive count. That thing would scream like a banshee if you got a dupe, and just let you know right away. You could even check as soon as you plug that the call sign in. If it was a dupe, it would come right up. So, yeah, very nice program. Very happy with it. Very, very, very simple. I mean, if I can use it and make it work, it's got to be simple.
Yeah, Roger that. I think we only had a couple of people that weren't really familiar with it. Of course, they really didn't make it to the club meeting when we did the demo. And some people just don't like using the computer for that stuff. So we had paper backup. That worked pretty good, too. That's always a good thing to have anyway, in case something happens. But, yeah, it was a pretty good deal. I know that I helped set up some of the stuff there for 20 meters, did a few contacts. And I think that everybody out there was having a whole lot of fun. And I think we had record time again for the teardown. I think, I actually believe it was 12:15, about an hour and 15 minutes. I think Bill put it as a 12:30, but I think he included 15 minutes of rag shoe amongst us. Mike, what do you think as far as that goes? You think that everything went up pretty good and came down pretty good? I think it was pretty smooth. Any comments, anything that you saw or Cindy saw that maybe we could just kind of jot down and think about next year might smooth things out?
It did go really smooth, up and down both. One thing that I noted, and this is Mickey's pet peeve, and rightfully so, a lot of the knot tying, including some of the knots that I tied, I'm a Navy veteran, but I never really got into knots. But there are, Mickey showed me as we were tearing down a couple of knots that basically you tie it and give it a yank and it comes untied and it holds very well. It's called a bowline. And if anybody plans on using it, you know, helping out and doing it next year, learn that bowline knot. That really, really works out well on the kind of tying that we need. That and a half hitch are two knots that, you know, if you learn that and use that at field day, basically untying it instead of going and untying granny knots and spending a lot of time, that probably would have saved us another 15 minutes on the teardown.
Yeah, you know, Roger that. I think that's possible, but I still think that, you know, you got to make sure the thing is secure, and I'd rather have it more tied down than not. A little joke pun there. And you never know how the winds can come up here, and that would be probably a bad thing if things started coming loose. Did you hear of any interference, I think, with those filters and the antennas where they are? And I think everything worked pretty good this year. Did you hear of any other than, we always get a little bit of CW over in the sideband on the same freak a little bit, but anything else? I don't think we had any problems there.
Did have a little bit of interference from 6 meters on 10 meters, but it was the lower portion of the sideband section of the band, and it was only maybe 20 kilohertz I was getting it. Everything else was pretty well clear.
Okay, Roger that. So you're saying that actually a frequency higher than you was interfering with your frequency. Is that correct?
just kind of like last year, only it was 15 meters. And I've got that K3 that is very, very, you know, good with rejection. So I think it was really when our beams were pointed, the 10-meter beam was pointed, like towards the L.A. Basin. We were trying to catch up, you know, the late stuff and trying to catch up some of the early stuff in the morning. And when his beam was kind of pointed at the center of our beam, we were picking it up. But it wasn't anything we couldn't work through. You know, like last year, it was basically hash over most of the 15-meter band. This is something that was just insignificant. I really didn't even mention it.
Well, you know, with both those beams aimed at each other and the gain between them, which adds together, I'm amazed you didn't have more problems than that. that's just a fact. So, well, that's good. And I guess I had talked to Bill, W6BBL. Evidently, there wasn't any issues with 15 on his digital mode. I believe that's where he operated. Is that correct?
That's correct, but on his digital mode, he was only using about 25 watts. Very low power. Digital is very efficient, so, you know, you don't have to run a lot of power. So, you know, with that in mind, that kind of helped out there, too.
Yeah, roger that. I don't think his output power was the issue. He wasn't able to operate because he was getting swamped out before. So, and evidently that did not happen. And I think everybody else was still running the same. So that's good. And I had talked to him, and he said that we had eliminated the problem, but nobody was sure why. Kind of a big mystery. So I don't know. Maybe, like you say, that's anything that works. That's a problem intermittently is very hard to solve. The good part is it's gone. So if we set up the same way next year, chances are probably going to have no problems again. Anyway, so, yeah, I saw you out there spinning that antenna around. That was pretty clever. Tell everybody how you have a Yaki that's up in the air about maybe 20 feet and no rotator. How do you spin it?
Had a rotator. That was the WB6CLZ rotator, or anybody else he could talk into rotating, like we got Chris to do it once. Basically, we had a rope on the business end of the Yagi, and we would turn the rope in any direction that we wanted to and either tie it down to the fence, or I had a big old rock that I would tie the rope around, and that kind of anchored it down because there was no fence pointed in the northeast or the east or the southeast. So Mr. Rock held it in place.
Ah, ingenuity. And just a reminder out there, field day is actually an exercise. It's setting up field operations for ham radio to assist in times of a, say, natural disaster or whatever. Good practice to set things up, tear things down, setting up temporary communications. I think it went well. I was rather impressed with the two delta loops that W6AT brought, Lanny. Very efficient, and I think we got quite a bit of gain.
Gain was on that. I don't think we ever calculated. I'm sure if Lanny was here, he could tell us right off the top of his head. But from what I'm hearing, they worked out pretty well.
Yeah, roger that. Anybody out there, let's just take a little pause. Anybody out there listening in, any questions about what we were doing out there at Field Day? If you weren't a participant, any questions of what we did or how we did it or anything else to comment, please jump in there. Please come back to KF6Q.
Good evening, K6TUX.
Ah, Gee, how are you doing? Did the snake die?
Well, I got bit by something. They think it... I don't know. Anyway, the back of my left leg was big like a house, all black. I end up in the hospital. They give me antibiotic and all the jazz. And I'm still recuperating. That's 4 days ago. What is bad, they had company from Europe who's still there, and I'm halfway in bed, halfway up. So that's not so good. But the spider, I hope, die if it's one of them. Other than that, everything is fine. Thank you very much again for all the help I get from you guys. Have a very nice evening.
Okay, Gee. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're okay, and the spider died. There you go. Or the, whatever it was that bit you. Fantastic. And hopefully you're trying to stay cool out there. I know it's getting warm out there.
105 in the shade.
All right. Well, this is definitely that time of year again. So, all right. Good to hear you out there. Anyway, anybody else out there with any questions about field day and what was going on out there? Other than the fact that if you weren't there, really sorry you guys missed out. Please come back to KF6Q.
YNW.
And there's Chris. How you doing? YNW, go ahead.
Okie dokie. I'll mention a couple of operations over this way. When appropriate, K6YNW.
Yeah, roger that. Go ahead.
Okay, our Desert Radio Amateur Transmitting Society, affectionately called the RATS, they were up at Angel View up in, not Yucca Valley, I'll think of what it is, over further. And they had an 800-foot rhombic that they used, and they got a lot of European stations with it. Then also they had digital. Now, three guys, I won't even name their calls or their names, were up in San Jacinto. They're backpackers. They took up two batteries. I gather they were, small batteries, a high-frequency rig and a dipole antenna. And it's this is SOTA. I'd never heard of it before until they talked about it. Summits on the Air. Apparently it's popular in Europe. Reset. And they got in 20 meters. Generally speaking, the band was dead, but a lot of stations that couldn't work, other people could work them. They're running 5 watts. So they said they got about 50 contacts with stations that could hear them, but not much else. So I just mentioned those two things there. Apparently that rhombic antenna that the RATS used really worked like a bomb. K6YNW.
Oh, I appreciate that input there, Chris. Yeah, a lot of times height is really the best thing in the world. It's amazing. You're going to make the contacts out there with very little power. And we did have a group. I don't think they set that up this year, but I do believe they had a rhombic up here last year, which was excellent. But it's really great to see a lot of people out there getting involved. And I know we'd had another group up here by Coon Creek Jump Off. It's a little place off of Highway 38 on the way up on the south side of between San Gorgonio and Sugarloaf. And out there it looks over the desert. In fact, you can literally see the Salton Sea out there, even the other end of it. It's a beautiful view when it's clear. Anyway, all right, we're glad to hear you out there. Anybody else out there, any comments about anything that was happening over the field day? Please come back.
Quick comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who's filled away?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, comment.
Yep, There was a group working on Onyx Peak. I don't know if that's the one you were talking about, Highway 38 or something like that, K6YNW.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was the same group. Could have been another group. I think there was a few out there, because actually Onyx is a little bit down from that, but not too far away. Might have been the same people. Yeah, roger that. Anybody else out there, please come back.
KB6LTY.
Oh, Christy, thought I heard you out there. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Tom, good evening. I had a quick question for Chris at K6YNW.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Chris, I was wondering, what was the heights that they put their rhombic at? was it, you know, like a 20-foot tower? What was the minimum height that they had it at? Thanks.
They were in the high desert, above the terrain. I think it was about 30 feet off the ground. And regarding the guys in the summit, that was 9,000 feet, the other operation. K61W.
All right, very good. Thank you. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Chris. Great signal, by the way, Chris. All right, back to net, KP6L2I.
All right, yeah, great for the great information there. And don't seem to hear K6LCS Quinn out there this evening. However, I did hear him briefly on the 2-meter band as I was going between the home QTH and Field Day site. Had to make a couple of trips there. Evidently, it was pretty good for satellite. I think he had worked a couple. I'm not sure. Unfortunately, I was not able to do that this year, but I really missed out on that. But just had too many things on our plate there. But anyway, yeah, because there's a lot of stuff happening. Anyway, anybody else out there, any comments about Field Day, please come back. Yeah, you know, Mike, one thing, too, I think we should mention out there, something that it's very easy to do, as we're out there trying to make these contacts and whatever, and it is all in fun. We're all having a great time in doing that. But I know that headphones are very handy. Mike, yeah, how do headphones work for you and Cindy?
They work great. Cindy is kind of oddly impaired. She has a bionic ear. She had a stapendectomy years ago, a little piece of Teflon put into one of her ears, and it's starting to act up now. So for her, it's great because, you know, you can turn that up and you can hear right into your ear. It's great. There's no side noise. It cuts out all the background noise. And if you've got a weak station, you know, I hear pretty good for working in a factory for 20 years. But a lot of times on DX, I'll put the headphones on and I can pull out a station that I can hardly hear on the speaker. That's something anybody that gets into HF or you know, even VHF here, not so important on FM. But if you do any weak signal work, that's one of the best ways to dig out a signal that you can just barely hear when you're listening on a speaker.
Now, Roger, that, and to explain to, I guess, what we're talking about here, as we set up that Bear Mountain, this is our third year, pretty neat, a lot of fun, and I would like to just kind of explain what we're doing out there. As we set up, we have, maybe three or four tables in a row, and on each one of these tables, we're spread out a little bit. There might be a little space, but trust me, as you're talking into the mic and trying to hear that real weak signal out there, or somebody who's not coming in, definitely you have the local audio interference. I mean, it's hard to ignore and tune out the guys at the other table. And I, you know, this is something that possibly in the future we might recommend as not mandatory, but, you know, do it if you can. Because you put those headphones on, not only does it kind of knock out all the local noise, but it helps, you know, you focus on you know, the guy on the other end there. And you know what? Let's face it, that we want that contact that we can barely hear, right, Mike?
Of course, those are the best ones. A couple of little comments on headphones. You know, you don't have to spend $1 million. I went to Walmart and I got a pair for like under $20 that are made by Sony. Pretty decent quality headphones and work very well. Or old headphones. You know, you can always, if your radio has a quarter inch jack, you can always go to Radio Shack and get an adapter. Make sure that the adapter is stereo. That's very important. You know, any stereo, any headphone of any quality is a lot better than a speaker, and you're going to dig that weak signal out a lot better than just listening to it on a speaker.
Yeah, Roger that. You know, and it never fails is that the person working, you know, like we were working 20 meters and they were working 40 meters, not that far away. You know, we're trying to hear that. And, of course, when that person is weak out there, it's very not uncommon to be yelling into the microphone. They'd all probably almost hear us without the radio. But, you know, the headphones of any sort will help to, you know, tone that down. We'll all get along good together that way. You know, we'll all be able to hear and focus on that. And, yeah, the stereo jack thing is an issue because I know, Mike, we borrowed one from you so we could split that with my logger and myself. And I don't know what it is. Just hearing out of one ear just isn't the same. It just is weird. But anyway, so the stereo thing's a little bit better, something to think about. And I have full wraparound headphones. I mean, my ear is buried in that headphone. That's what I like. That's my personal preference. So anybody else out there, any comments, headphones or mics or anything like that, please come back. KSXQ.
I'll take it.
Go ahead.
Now that you mentioned the full wraparound earphone or headphones, that's the way. I've got two that I bought when I was over in Vietnam, and they're Pioneers. And those things do. Your ears are completely engulfed in those things, and they do work a lot better than the other ones. It cuts out all of the background noise, you know. But the other ones definitely work. But that is the way to go if you're looking for headphones.
Yeah, sorry about the delay there. I was trying to see what I got here. This set I used here is Optimus, but I did have a set of Costs around here somewhere. I think they're here somewhere anyway. But you know what? The basic thing is if they sound decent and they eliminate the noise and get you focused on there, pretty cool. Keeps it pretty nice like that. Anyway, Mike, other than that, what did you think about our little barbecue thing? And we've had all that food before. Just all those people out there who didn't come missed out on some great burgers and hot dogs.
I had the burger and all the trimmings, and Cindy said the hot dogs were really good. She had both. You know, Cindy eats me under the table. And she said she had everything that was on the table, and she enjoyed the heck out of it. Yeah, the food was good. It always is. Cannot be beat in the mornings. The best cinnamon rolls ever to be had. And orange juice and coffee and all the trimmings. So, and pumpkin bread. Yeah, we forgot about that. So, yeah, anybody that didn't come, we got you salivating now and maybe next year.
Yeah, KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday, on the Big Beer Amateur Radio Club repeater every Tuesday, 1900 hours, conditions permitting. Yeah, well, that's probably part of the good part. We all take a break after working the radios all day and sit down and have something to eat. But I got to tell you, being out in the weather and all the setting up the day before and that day and everything else, I was going to work a little bit Saturday night, but I was just too beat. However, we did have a couple people in there working. I think Harry, KE6RJ, was working and got an incredible amount of contacts on 80. I'm trying to think who else worked. Mike, back to you.
It was Harry and Nancy, and then I know that the Lanny and Bob, K6LL, we're working that automated CW station over there. you guys, if anybody wasn't there and didn't see that, they've got their rig set up to a computer, and basically it has a station in Hurricane, Nevada that goes out and finds stations calling CQ. It turns the radio to the frequency and picks them up and automatically gets the points. I don't know exactly how it works, and that's about the best I can describe it. Maybe, Tom, you can do better. But that automated CW station on 40 and 80 is just amazing.
Yeah, K6LL, that's Dave, not Bob. Anyway, just to correct the call sign there. But, yeah, it is computer-assisted. That is allowed on field day. Talking with Dave about that quite a bit. Early Sunday morning, and yeah, it's pretty neat, or maybe it was Saturday morning, yeah, well, I don't know what morning it was, that's all I know, It's pretty neat to do, pretty neat on the CW. But anyway, I think we all had a lot of fun out there, and once again, we look forward to doing it again next year. We had plenty of generators, plenty of power, some very nice, quiet generators. I don't really see anything that really went wrong, and we'll try to keep it that way safety-wise. Any other safety issues that you saw that we should have not have done? As I think the safety inspector is sitting next to you. WB6CLZ, KSXQ.
Well, we were pretty good. You know, we had a couple of people climbing on ladders in the wrong position and things like that. But, you know, all in all, it was pretty good. For this year was the first year I bought a UPS, an uninterruptible power supply made for computers, and I did not want to take any risk of my radio being damaged. So I used that, and it worked pretty well. I always kind of have my eye out for safety, and I didn't see any blatant disregard for the safety rules. Sometimes when we were shooting antennas, we should have been wearing hard hats and out of the way, but, everybody was kind of good this year. Didn't see any major stuff. How about you, Tom?
Well, you know, it's something I thought about the year before, and I brought those metal stakes that we use for tying off the antennas and the poles and whatever, and it just dawned on me a little can of fluorescent orange painting them orange. They make they really stick out. So if you're walking across there or looking in the area, you can't miss them. That and a little piece of the caution tape we had tied to those strings or ropes or whatever, kind of make sure that, you know, you don't, you know, run across one of those right across the face. So I think that was all in tune, and I think everything else, everything went up pretty smooth. I almost fell off the last step of a ladder, the bottom one that is, of course. Thankfully, W6BBL caught me in the nick of time. I was about to go into a plastic fence, so I don't think I would have got hurt. Other than that, it was just the terrain is very rough out there. That's one thing you have to watch, too, where you put up a ladder and you start standing stuff up and taking it down. Kind of keep your eyes open. Also up here in Big Bear, and I don't think it's a big issue, but always got to keep our eyes open as we're up there setting stuff up for rattlesnakes. So don't think we've ever seen one yet. Hopefully you never will. All right. Well, anyway, in closing, anything else anybody would like to add? Any ideas? Please come back. KF6Q.
Quick one, Tom.
Yeah, go ahead.
Forgot to mention at the appropriate time that Bob, WA6MQF, he was going to be our nighttime CW operator, and he was hospitalized over the weekend. But I just talked to a friend of his, Linda, and he is out of the hospital. He's home, and he's doing pretty well. So anybody that was wondering about Bob, that's the latest on him. And he may even be listening. I'm not sure if he's got a scanner. He's in Downey right now. But that's the story on Bob.
Oh, I really appreciate that. I was kind of curious how he was doing. As I know, he did very well last year for us, working the night shift on CW, and I'm sure he would have helped this year, too. He was scheduled to be in there, but unfortunately wasn't able to do that. So let's hope he has a good recovery. All right, anybody else out there, any comments or suggestions, please come back to KF6Q. All right, well, everybody out there listening, checking in, appreciate that. Like I said, field day is a lot of fun. Good chance for everybody to get out there and play with radios and antennas and set up stuff. And we have tried different things different years. Got to recommend the Delta Loop, and I'll tell you why. In closing, the Delta Loop, as a loop in general, is a very, very wide band. We tuned it up. I had W6AT, the two of us working together putting this thing up. After we got the length adjusted a little bit, that thing was basically no more than 1.1 to 1 over the entire 20-meter band, which is very good. As we're hunting and pouncing for contacts, you don't have to worry about the tuner. There is no tuner. You just take the tuner right out of the equation. So loops are very good like that, and then we had a reflector loop behind it, so I'm guessing the gain with that the two together probably was somewhere around 6-7 dB. That's a shot from the hip. I could be wrong, but it'd probably be very similar to a two-element quad. And I think we could probably look that up. So no matter what it was a lot of fun. All right, thanks for everybody listening in. QST, 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 this is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net. Closing the net at 1,900 hours and 45 minutes, returning the repeater to normal use. Thank everybody again for checking in, and we'll see you next week. This is KF6Q, and I'll be clear and standing by.